troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-host Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Hello, guys.
Good evening. How are you gentlemen this evening?
I'm doing well.
Glad to be here. Doing good, Bill. Doing very good.
Myself, too. Been a nice, cool day here today. It's been hot for a few days for this area anyway, but today is nice and cool. The big Obama thing petered out over there in New York City that was going to wipe the stock market out.
Oh, jeez.
But the governor's already out saying that it's going to cost billions. We're going to need billions. Chicken Little.
Yeah, I hate to say it, audience, but if you're looking to us for answers, we don't know what to tell you.
That's for sure.
We're just, the propaganda machine is just raging right now. We can't figure out what to make of some of these current events that are out there in the mainstream media, in the alternative media. I mean, the whole thing is just a big quagmire. It's a big whopper. That's what we were saying before.
Yeah.
It's just one big whopper, and we just have to have our spiritual discernment so tuned in these days. And all we can trust is Scripture. We can't trust these things of the world, and so that's what we're going to keep pointing you to. And we walk by faith, not by sight. So that's what you're going to be hearing from us again tonight. I think we'll probably have a few comments about things, no QE3, we do know that for a fact. I don't know what's going to come of that. That was the big buzz of the week last week, what Bernanke was going to announce, and everybody looks at this guy like he's, King Tut or something, and it's just an absolute abomination.
So, audience, in our discussion, our pre-show discussion, we were trying to come up with some viable topics for current events, and probably the biggest transition that we have is that we really can't get a right truth out of anything we've read this week. Now, the propagation of fear that was upon the East Coast of the United States was continually all over the internet. Which, it's prudent to be prepared for a storm. But the people that were in the media were propagating this fear as to an effect to cause, the general population to be in such a state they can't react to a prudent situation, which is if it's going to pour rain and you're going to have 80 mile an hour winds, you better go down to the basement. You better not listen to anybody. You better take shelter. Well, all I've seen this week is how much it's going to cost to fix everything. and they don't have the money.
That's right.
And the...
I posted an article on my Facebook. The article said, widespread panic is coming upon the East Coast in fear that the Internet goes down and they'll be forced into face-to-face contact with one another.
And yeah, you plus, know, they kept this big drama going on the Weather Channel. So, you know, I guess they're hoping to get some audience, I suppose. TV is not doing really well. So they got a commercial every 3 minutes. Every 3 or 4 minutes, there's a commercial.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
And a big, there's the love of money involved in keeping that all alive, too. Not that, you know, you can't warn people. I'm not saying that, but... everything's a drama. They're all drama queens.
And it's merchandising.
Merchandising trained in neurolinguistics.
On a fleshly basis, this is all about revenues for fear factors. Now, you have to come to the conclusion, audience, that something is drastically wrong when a storm is coming and the propagation of fear is surpassing the actual prudent meteorological forecast of what needs to be done. And any storm, you can't really analyze a storm until it's come upon because of all the various factors. But to put a whole nation in fear and actually propagate this is... it's the worst kind of propaganda. It's like a programming and preparing the population for fear rather than action. It's the opposite. Yep. It's inaction. And what we have now is that they've, when a real storm comes, there's people not going to move out.
Well, that could be true, too, yeah.
It's the ultimate boy who cried wolf story.
And it's the merchandising of the people.
That's exactly right, yeah. Whenever there's an opportunity to merchandise, you know, no matter what it is, they will, you know, that's just human nature to take advantage of that. And it's, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. Unless you rebuke and resist it, we'll all, you know, everyone will fall prey to that.
Right.
In Revelations 18:15, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off from the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Now, the merchants, audience, our Lord cleared out the merchants from the temple. And on a singular basis, you need to look at the scriptures that they've changed the ordinances, and in studying yourself approved, you need to see that, you know, this whole world lies in wickedness. Because not only are they propagating fear upon the inhabitants of the East Coast, but do you want your children in fear? Is that not a wicked, wicked thing?
And then even all the websites, and they supposedly, I think like James Lloyd says, there's 1.5 million of them out there, Watchman sites. They're capitalizing on this too.
Yeah.
Audience, if you see a donation button on a site, 99.9% means that, you know, they're not preaching the truth. Are we wrong about that? Could it be 98%? You'll have to study yourself approved to understand that. The identities that we've recognized over the past 4 years are telling a tale that no man can see. And if you look at the application of what the serpent in Scripture represents, he not only represents Satan, but he represents Satan's minions. And the serpent will kill you. And it'll lie in wait until you're walking by, and it'll apply the hissing, it'll apply the poison, it'll apply the blindness, it'll strangle you, it will kill you. And that's what Scripture says. And the same application goes with a scorpion. A scorpion will lie in wait to sting you. And they work together. And they're also recognized as briars and thistles. Bill?
Yeah, they work actually very close in unison. Sometimes they oppose each other. They're actually opposing dialectics, but they're codependent on each other.
And they're forced
to work with each other.
So the Lord laid a plumb line for this. Let's call it a line in the sand, so to speak. And behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, the plumb line in his hand. And we find that the center of this plumb line is our Lord Jesus Christ. And a plumb line is true. So on one side, you have the broad way. On the other side, you have the narrow way. You have lies, death, bondage, law, darkness, Gentile, uncircumcised, no fruit, death, spirit of error, on one side of this plumb line. You have truth, free, life, grace, light, Jew, circumcised, fruit, salvation, and the spirit of truth, on the other side of the plumb line. Now, on the Lord's side of the plumb line, you have those that follow the Lamb wherever he goeth, that are in repentance with our Lord Jesus Christ, that are in covenant, that are seeking to do the will of the Father, that are studying themselves approved. And then you have them, the serpents and the scorpions. On another level, you have the seed, the wheat, and on the other side of the line is the tares. And as you go through your studies, you will find that it is a story over and over. Bill, talk about Cain and Abel.
It's the same story all through the Bible, Cain and Abel. You'll find it in the Mark of the Beast in Revelation 13. There's a few chapters in Revelation. You know, it's the same story as Cain receiving the mark. You know, Cain fell away. He fell. His countenance fell. That's the falling away. His heart gets filled with wrath, and he wants to kill his brother. That's the tares coming against the wheat. That story runs all the way through the Bible. I mean, it's in Esau and Jacob, and it was the Jerusalem church against Jesus.
All through Scripture, audience, we find that the seed it is growing and nurturing, and the tares are going black. But there comes a point where you look at your generation. And in our generation, we can't find the truth. On very basic events, and if we take an example like Fukushima, a common sense approach, just your basic, normal Joe Lunchbox said, hey, if four or five nuclear plants blow up, it's not good. And if it's equated to the Hiroshima bombs, and the Chernobyl blowing up, you know, that's not good either. But on our news, they seem to have it all taken care of. And as we look at this closer, that a situation that is part of our current events, we go to look at what does the radiation readings say. Oh, they took those down.
How convenient.
How convenient.
Yeah, they say that it's been equivalent to a Hiroshima bomb every day since the event. And, you know, there's reports of babies being born, you know, malformed. And aborted and just awful atrocities. Yeah, it's absolutely. Just, we haven't begun to hear the whole magnitude of this thing. I mean,
and you
won't even, you never will.
You never
we
will.
We can only guess at it. Yeah, they'll never, they'll only cover 1/10 of the disaster, just like Chernobyl.
So now we're trying to do an honest, revised weekly current events to overlay the scriptures upon and give a proper rendering of what we need to be looking for. And at this point, we could barely pull it together because there is no reports on that.
No. The only thing I do know for sure is the condition of the church, the house of God. And scripture is crystal clear on what is taking place and what's going to happen, what to do, and our instructions. And so that's the thing I hold on to with both hands every day, because that's one thing I do. I can't figure out with prayer and study. I can find the truth out about that, because God reveals it to you, you know, when you seek Him. And He doesn't, you know, there's no Holy Spirit of mass media that reveals the truth of the, you know, the talking heads out there, but there is, you know, the one true Holy Spirit that reveals the truth of Scripture to you, because the Word of God is living and active. You know, it's alive, and it does become alive to those who diligently seek the Lord. And you know, like we did yesterday in the we did a breakout study on, I wanted to mention that tonight, that we're doing a overview of the end times for one, you know, basically like an end times 101 study, where we're just doing an overview. And last night we did the first one, which was entitled The Birthright, The Heritage, you know, and it's foundational. And it was, well, you know, we'll be posting that. It'll probably be posted with this show. And, you know, I just encourage everyone to follow along with that. And it's going to be a simple overview that we hope you can burn CDs and hand it out to your friends, because it's going to be the spiritual rendering of the end times that we are smack in the middle of. And one of the, you know, we spent a lot of time on the covenant, the promise of salvation that has been carried from the Garden of Eden. Was when the Lord first made the promise to provide a way out for the sin that you know, Adam and Eve committed in the garden. But we you know, laid down the groundwork of the covenant, the promise of the salvation of a Savior that was carried by the seed line, and now and it is continued today as we are Abraham's seed by faith. And like a verse in the study that just stuck with me, I kept you know, thinking about it today, and that was in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land, whether I bring you to dwell therein, and let me read this again. I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. I mean, the Lord is not going to spew you out of His mouth. You know, I mean, if you, we didn't actually, this was a verse I just found tonight, but, you know, this is all part of the promise that God will be our God, you know, and we will be His people. And, you know, if we keep His statutes and His judgments and do them, you know, the Lord is making it very clear here. And this is the problem today, because the covenant has been corrupted. The covenant has been corrupted with flatteries, and that the modern Christian is not held accountable to follow this passage of Scripture. In that this phony grace that's being taught from the pulpits has completely diminished the covenant that we're in with the Lord. And now we have a spiritual covenant. You know, the covenant was translated to spiritual at the cross. And then today, you know, the life of a Christian is a lot less messy than it was at the time, you know, of the, you know, the sacrificial system. But the, you know, call to obedience and to keep the statutes and the judgments is still the same. And, you know, this is just so powerful. And it was the heart of the study last night that I just wanted to, you know, just touch upon again tonight, because it's just so, you know, awesome to understand that God has, you know, promised to be our God, to save us and to protect us and to lead us and to provide for us. If, there's an if there, though, you know. And there's no if in the Christian church today, because if you, heaven forbid, you mention anything like that, you're accused of being a legalist. And this is the problem. This is why the church has gone bad, because the gospel has been diminished. This is the gospel. The gospel message is that, you know, if you will humble yourself and pray and seek my face, you know, I will, you know, your land. You know, this is a spiritual concept. The land, you know, our land is our heart, you know, and you know, dwelling with Jesus on Mount Zion, you know, this the spiritual promised land that every Christian has available to them. And this has been so twisted and corrupted today that the understanding is just almost lost. But God's remnant understands it, and that's the one key you can find in God's people. They understand the covenant. They understand the covenant. They understand their identity as the Israel of God. And it's because God's put it in their heart. And so it'll be, you know, I just want to encourage everyone to follow along with that. And you know, our hope was to give you some tools to hand out to people you might be, you know, trying to reach. So that's it.
And we have to look back on Scripture, audience, because at the generational view, if you don't change the ordinances and you go strictly by the Gospels, and strictly by the Scriptures, you find this tale is true. You find that there will be lies. There will be great deception. The money changers will be running the temple. And Satan himself sits in the congregation. It doesn't say Satan is sitting on some mount. He's sitting in the congregation. He's running the show. When the Lord says, come out of her, you know, you can apply it to the church, but on a greater level, you could apply it to spiritual Egypt and Sodom, and you can apply it to Babylon. So come out of the world system and come to our Lord Jesus Christ. Enter into covenant with him, and he will answer your petitions. Bill?
Yes, absolutely. It's, you know, the repentance and the covenant, those are two lost doctrines that are very important in the understanding of the one true gospel. Is the understanding of the doctrine of repentance and the doctrine of keeping covenant. And when those are gone, I mean, you could say all hell's going to break loose. That's the bottomless pit opening up. And that's what's happened.
In using the examples from the Old Testament into a spiritual construct, you are taught by examples. So Israel of the Old Testament is an example, an ensample for us to follow. And many, they were divorced.
Yep.
And the precedence for that divorcement was idol worship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to throne judgment, which is next, I mean, you have a thousand... Bill will go over the thousand-year reign for the audience versus the millennial reign that's propagated by the apostate church.
Yeah, it's just one more fable. They got a preterist version of it and a Cyrus Scofield version of it, where there's a rapture first and then the thousand-year reign. And then, of course, there's the post-millennial version of it. And then there's the amillennial version of it, where the church itself is ruling in the, you know, in their flesh perspective, and we obviously can see that that's not true. I mean, all the doctrines out there on this. I ran across one I had put away several months ago. A guy wrote about 50 years ago. He's, from my looking it over, he has it about 90% right. And probably be a good idea just to post the link even.
Yeah, I can do that.
He explains things pretty thoroughly, step by step. But yeah, it's just a big deception, along with the, they've been playing the Church Israel game. Church Israel, Church Israel, Church Israel. They're just playing back and forth at you. They're both a fake. You know, come out of both of them. This is just like a ping pong game. I had noticed today I had taken a few notes that I wanted to address this evening on just common myths that are totally believed by almost everybody today. The fact that the first one I did an early show on, and I'm going to redo that show, take out some of the unnecessary stuff and just stay more to the absolute proof of text that there's no way that the Hebrews were in Egypt for 400 years. It's totally impossible they weren't. You can easily prove it in Scripture. And I'm going to, maybe in about 2 weeks, I'll have Brother Chris post that show again for me. And if you listen to that, you'll just, and yet everybody believes this. It's just like a, you know, when, and I think it was a myth, once again, to play the Church Israel game. They're using it for a sympathetic view towards flesh Israel today. Not that I'm saying any bondage or any tribulation has ever been good. You know, no, that's not what I'm saying. But they were only in Egypt 215 years, and only the last 100 years were they in bondage. And it's very provable in the Bible. Another big one I heard even last night from a very solid teacher says James, the half-brother of Jesus, was killed in the Jerusalem siege in around 67, 60 AD, and he was 94 years old. And I said, no, this can't possibly be. He would have had to have been born 25 years before Jesus, because Jesus would have only been about 70 years old at that time. And it's easy, very easily provable in the Bible that the three Jameses in the Bible, who they are, and who was the head of the Jerusalem church. It was James the Lesser. And I'd like to just go over the three Jameses real quickly, if you gentlemen don't mind.
Absolutely, but, Brother Bill.
There's three Jameses in the Scripture. There's James the Greater, James the Lesser, and James the half-brother of Jesus. Although they don't refer to them in these terms, the half-brother. But Mary and Joseph went on to have children after Jesus was born, and there was four half-brothers. And they're mentioned in John chapter 7. They also were mentioned as they were not believers in John chapter 7. The first James that's listed in Acts chapter 1:13 lists all of the disciples. And they're listed in order, too. It's Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew. Then it lists the second James, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, and Judas, the brother of James. Okay, the first James there, that was the one that we'll address first. He was known as James the Greater. This James was a fisherman. He was the son of Zebedee. He was actually the brother of John that wrote the epistles and wrote the book, the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation. He was John's brother. James was the second chosen apostle after Peter, our disciple. This James was killed in Acts chapter 12 when Peter was arrested in prison. When Peter broke out of prison during that time, this James was, he was beheaded. I know he was killed. It's the only recorded death of the original apostles in the Bible, although Jesus did prophesize the future death of Peter. And it was a martyrdom that took place about 44 A.D., roughly, in Acts chapter 12. So James the Greater is gone now. And that was John's brother, the John that wrote the book of Revelation. And his the other James, which was the head of the Jerusalem church, was the son of Alphaeus. And also known in the Hebrew as Cleopas as well. And he was elected to the oversight of the Jerusalem church. That was the person that wrote the book of James in the Bible. This is that James. He was the author of the epistle of the book of James. And he was the head of the Jerusalem church. He's the second one listed in, he's the second James that's listed in Acts chapter 13. It says James, the son of Alphaeus. That's him. That was the head of the Jerusalem church. And, you can find this story on him. He was the father of this James and the apostle in Matthew 10:3, Mark 3:18, Luke 6:15, and he's listed again, in, as we just read, in Acts 1:13. And he was the husband of a woman named Mary. This is not the mother of Jesus. It wasn't Mary Magdalene. It was just another Mary. You can find that in John 19:25. And the Hebrew name of this name is, of his dad was this Alphaeus guy that I was, who was in, I'm sorry, he's in Matthew 10, Mark 3, Luke speaks of Alphaeus, which is was his father. His name is also Cleopas. And he was also the father of Matthew Levi. And you can find that in Mark 2:14. And then the other James was the half-brother of Jesus. He's mentioned in Matthew 13:55, the four brothers are. And like I said, it's also in John 7. He was one of the four brothers who were not they were not believers. And Jesus sent them up to the Feast of Tabernacles in John chapter 7. He told them to go ahead and worry. He says, you guys are of the world. You don't have the truth. They're not out to kill you. He says, but they seeketh to kill me because I testify of its evil. So Jesus went up to the feast in secret, while his four brothers went along they had nothing to hide. And that's the three James in the Bible. But yes, the myth you hear everywhere, it's just common. People just will assume that all the James, that was Jesus' half-brother. That's just another Jewish myth. The Nephilim is another Jewish myth. You'll find it in the Antiquities of the Jews, written by Josephus. That's the first account I can find about it, at least in written history. The Last Supper is a huge one. That's another one that the Catholic Church has totally taken the Passover meal that Jesus had, intentionally turned it into the term the Last Supper. And this is to keep the dialectic going between the Church and Israel, because Jesus truly did have the Last Supper. Well, it was called the Passover meal. It was the night of the true Passover on the 14th, the closing of the night of the 14th, which brought about the beginning of the Passover evening at 6 o'clock, would it be our time, roughly, for the 15th. That was when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He was killed on the Sabbath day, which was the Passover day, which was the Feast of Tabernacles. It's all the same. It was a high Sabbath day because the Sabbath day fell on a feast day, so it makes it a high Sabbath. And the church does not want you to know that Jesus was killed on the Sabbath day, and that fulfilling the Sabbath in himself, because he's the Feast of Tabernacles, he's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it was the Unleavened Bread Feast at that time, the first month. And all of this took place. And, you know, I have a show I'd like to, maybe Brother Chris could bump it again for me, The Crucifixion of Christ. And it tells all of that in there, step by step by step. So that's another one. There's no Last Supper in the Bible. I'm not saying Jesus didn't have a Last Supper meal, but what he had was the true Passover meal. He had and you know, Passover's in the Bible. The Passover's in the Bible exactly 70 times. Exactly 70 times. I mean, if anybody don't get that meaning. But they have Jews' Passovers twice. That's two factions of evil. Because the Jews had the wrong Passover, they were one day off. That's why they had to hurry up and get Jesus buried, because that night was the high Sabbath and starting of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were off a day, and all of these things could be proven in the Bible, which is so ironic to me.
And we encourage you, audience. Our website is just full of studies, just of small facts that are scriptural. It's the best we can do to study ourselves approved and use the proper rendering of scripture. And we only found it out because we came together under the context that the gospel was being diminished. And we had found the truth. And it began with the parable of the leaven. Bill?
Yeah, it began with the parable of the leaven, right. And, it's been a 2.5-year learning process since then, or I'm not sure, maybe 2 years more. But even it, I'm just almost finding everything that I hear and took for granted from other people. I go in and search the scriptures and find out it's wrong.
And
that's, they had it wrong.
Audience, that is scriptural. Because you find that the whole world lies in wickedness.
And, of course, the last one we've been looking at is the big one, the millennial reign. We find out that they had it all wrong. They got it all wrong.
The thousand-year reign, audience, I encourage you to go for a walk and see if God isn't about you. Now, if you go into the city, if you're in the city, maybe go down to your local park. You are surrounded by the Lord. And they don't want you to know that. That's the subtle, the cunning hunter is on the earth. And he is looking to deceive in any way, shape, or form. Anything to knock you out, to battle against you, to kill you for your soul. But on the other side of the plumb line, the Lord tells you these things and tells you how to enter into covenant with him so that you can see these things and witness these things and understand that you are to do the will of the Lord and not of man. And you're to walk a different path. And that where you stand is holy land because you are the temple of the Lord. And out there, all is wickedness. And if you're in a church, if you're new to this show, we encourage you to come out of this harlot church and come to our Lord Jesus Christ and study his word and know him. Because they're going to tell you he's in the desert, and believe them not. Because he's standing with you. He's in you. If you're the holy temple of the Lord, you will see these things. But you must be reborn, must be in the Spirit. Chris?
Amen, brother. That was a good one. Yeah, it's just amazing. And I had a week of, what you just talked about, you know, it's hard to put the words, you know, the what does it say that, you know, the wind blows and you don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but, you know, that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. We saw last week how the reference to the wind, the breath and the wind and everything that comes with it, you know, the truth, the understanding, and also the tribulation that comes through it. You know, it all comes out of the same thing, you know, but this is truly the same story told over and over again. And, you know, as the Lord has, you know, opened up the words of Daniel, he said these words will be sealed till the time of the end. And the way that the Lord has absolutely, you know, intentionally made things cryptic, made the scriptures, you know, he's veiled these truths from, you know, the wise. You know, the way that, you know, you can go to seminary and study and get all kinds of, you know, degrees and letters after your name, and you can't figure this stuff out. It's got to be revealed to you from the Holy Spirit, you know, from the Father above. And, you know, it's just, it all comes out of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You know, this is a sacrifice that's pleasing to the Lord. And when you do submit, you know, the Lord does open this stuff up. And it's, as my journey continues, I just, it just gets more and more focused. And, you know, it's the same story. The Gog-Magog war, the Battle of Armageddon.
The little season. What do they call it? It was silent for a half hour. And
yeah.
And that's what confounds the wise. Because they're looking for a thousand different stories to try to figure them out, and it's one story.
It's also called The Harvest.
The Harvest, there you go.
It's also called The Destruction of Babylon. Babylon, yep. Babylon has fallen. You know, it's a signature of it happening twice. You know, it happened in the Old Testament physical, and that was an example for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. Because we see now that the that Babylon has fallen again, and that it says in Jeremiah 51 that I could have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. You know, the Lord is not going to heal Babylon. He's destroying it. And it's, you know, this is already underway. As, you know, I'm just going to read a little portion of Jeremiah 51 that I've been just, you know, pondering the last few weeks. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven images. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. And this is a absolute excellent description of the idolatry that's taking place today in the harlot church. And what are it says here that the molten images are lies. That the lies are the idols that these apostate Christians are holding on to. And, you know, this is what we're, you know, we were talking about earlier tonight. You know, we're just living a big lie. It's just, the lies are so bad and coming at us from every angle that, you know, we have to escape to the wilderness, to Scripture, to survive. But then, you know, we do. We can. The Lord gives us clear instruction on how to navigate these perilous times. And then Jeremiah 51:18, they are all vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they will perish. You know, and this is the, you know, the time of Jesus' visitation. The first time, they knew not the hour of their visitation. You know, the religious system of the day missed their visitation. And this is going to happen again. It is happening now. They don't see, what God is doing. They're, still putting forth flatteries from the pulpits. And at this time in history when, we are under such, attack, you know, but the flood is just carrying people away. The flood is the lies, the flood of lies. And, they're being swept away all around us. And we have nothing but, Scripture and our, relationship with the Lord to depend on to get through this. But Jeremiah 51:19, I want to continue. The portion of Jacob is not like them. See, this is talking about the remnant. The portion of Jacob is not like those described in 17 and 18 that are, living in the vanity of their own minds, you know, their own fleshly desires, these graven images that are the lies, the lie that there's going to be a political leader that's going to save us, that's going to make it like it used to be. It says clearly that Babylon has fallen. Babylon has fallen. And the portion of Jacob, he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. Here we see another reference to inheritance, our heritage here, our birthright, which is something that the remnant understand. They understand who they are.
And let me interject. This goes right what you're talking about, Chris. Audience, the Scriptures tell that the fleshly seed line ended with our Lord Jesus Christ. Period. So the examples, parables, and samples, analogies of the Old Testament are now transferred to a spiritual construct that is meant to teach on the Scriptures' not only from the Old Testament, but now to the New Testament, which ultimately ends in the book of Revelation. And the language are metaphors. Metaphors that we'll never be able to decipher in terms of our lifetimes. Because everything in God's Word has a meaning. And it's a meaning for every person on the face of the earth. But when we say there's a veil, and or the books are being opened, the greatest of all the human minds together for the past 6,000 years have been studying this word. It has not changed.
And it's like you're mining for gold and you hit a vein that you've never seen before. You can't even comprehend it when the Lord opens up these understandings, the spiritual overlay and the metaphoric language that is being opened up, unsealed right now. And it's a amazing phenomenon, the way that the Lord has kept this stuff veiled from those who he chooses. But the portion of Jacob is not like them. And it says this right here. You know, Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The rod, that's the plumb line. It's the means of measure that the Lord uses, you know, to separate out. Because this is what this is. This is a separation. And what are we going to see now in Jeremiah? What is the destruction of Babylon? What is the Gog Magog war? What's the separation of the wheat and the tares? Thou art my battle axe. This is talking about the portion of Jacob. The portion of Jacob is the remnant body that is speaking the truth.
The Israel today. Of God.
And the truth is dividing. Because the truth, the lightning, is spread. And it's the thunders, the voices in the thunders, that's causing the earthquake in the church. And this earthquake is dividing Babylon. And God's remnant are speaking the truth, and the Lord with his, spirit is pricking the hearts of his people, and his people respond to the truth. They hear something that causes them to question, causes them to want more. And then the tares become wroth with anger. The truth causes them to hate and to want to kill. And this is why
they either come mocking or they're pricked in the heart.
Exactly. Like it says in Acts.
Yep.
So this,
go ahead, Bob.
I was just going to interject that from Genesis to Revelation, audience, it all rings true using the metaphor, parables and examples in the proper rendering of Scripture. It tells the story of this generation right now. The story that they believe, 99% of the population believes in these apostate churches, that was foretold in Scripture. There would be a great falling away. And that the famine on the land is for the word. And you get no better example than to going into any store and look for a King James Bible. But on a greater level, you go around the globe and, you know, they probably don't have King James Version Bibles anywhere. And we've always, audience, if you have a Bible, use it. Don't care what version. I'm just saying if they're coming after a specific Bible, if they're trying to diminish the true Word of God, and they pick the King James Version Bible because it's one you can't find, well, go find it now because it may not be there next week.
Well, what Bill was talking about earlier with us, you know, this false doctrine all permeating out of the Catholic Church. I sound like a broken record, you know, always blaming the Jesuits for everything, but it's pretty much true. You know, they have. And they are truly, at the root of these modern translations. And, I saw a thing where the agenda of the New World Order was to change the words in the Bible. That's how they said it. You know, they didn't change the whole Bible. They just changed the wording. You know, key words.
Changed the wording, yeah.
They lose their meaning, you know,
and it's attacking the absolute deity of Christ. That's their main focal point. They can't really go into the book of Isaiah and change it much because they really don't even know what it says. But right. When you get into the New Testament and some things in the Old Testament, they will attack the deity of Christ and remove it as much as they can.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to speak on probably the most famous verse ever heard, and I would guess that this is the most famous verse from the Bible, in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's John 3:16. John 1:3:16 says, hereby perceive with the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So these are, you got one verse here, John 3:16, where God laid down his life for us, in John 3:16. And then the epistle, 1 John 3:16, it says we're to do the same for our brother. You know, God has laid his life down for us, and conversely, we lay down our lives for each other. When we conform to Christ's image, that's what being in covenant with Christ is. We become spiritual sacrifices, and that's how we do it, by loving our neighbor as ourselves. This comes through sacrifice and doing the Father's will and giving to unto others, to our brethren. It's not necessarily physical giving all the time. It's not Christmas presents. It could be giving somebody food. It could be spiritually giving. But 1:16 says we're supposed to do, 1 John 16 says we're supposed to do the same thing that Jesus did in John 3:16. These are the sacrifices. This is walking in covenant with Christ. This is walking, talking, and behaving just like Jesus Christ, because we're partisans of Christ, meaning Jesus Christ in you.
And he will lead you to do his will. This is not about you, audience. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ, to do his will. And it's, don't mingle. Don't mingle with anybody on this.
Right. Be enemies for the sake of the gospel, but you're beloved beloved of the Father for the touching of the election. So we don't go around the world making enemies with people and everything. But when it comes to the gospel, you don't mingle it. You're enemies for that sake. But
yeah,
we still have love for them. And
always.
You can point them in the right direction, share the gospel with them. Their heart will be pricked by the Holy Spirit. It's a very powerful verse in the Bible. Your enemies for the gospel's sake, but for the election, I forget it off the top of my head. I'm gonna look it up real quick, actually.
You cry, you sweat blood for your brothers.
Yes.
Who, if you know that the whole world lie in wickedness, that a child will never come to salvation. In some generation, that they will be deceived to a point where the gospel, the word is a famine, the famine is on the land, and the famine is for the word. Somewhere along the line, this ends. And it will come without observation. So just a proper rendering of scripture is that the scripture is being changed, ordinances are being changed, so you have a diminished Bible, that you can't get all of the spiritual metaphors, you can get some, but it doesn't matter what we say. Because if it's the will of the Lord that you hear the word, you will be fed. And that feeding is the meat of scripture. It's woe unto you that give suck, that's the milk of scripture, those people in the churches. because the harvest is near. It's reconciling the meat of Scripture, the truth,
Absolutely.
The word of God, versus
Acts
what man say.
They did share the meat. They did share the meat in singleness of heart. Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, and that's what they were talking about, the meat of Scripture.
One gospel, one flock, one shepherd. And that shepherd's not on your TV. He's not on the internet. He's not down at your corner church. He's not at the Mormon church. He's not at the Muslim church. He's not at the Buddhist church.
Well, the idol shepherds are there.
Leading
yeah,
to
I know,
death.
I have a little thing in Psalms about the idol shepherd. It says in Psalms 51:19 and 23, God shall bear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no charge, no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The word of his mouth were smoother than butter, but the war was in his heart, and his words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Thou, O Lord, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. You know, these are the those that have, you know, their words are as smooth as butter.
Yep.
And what is he doing here? He has broken his covenant. And this is exactly what Daniel chapter 11 is talking about, the false prophet who corrupts the covenant with flatteries. You know, the flattery is the words out of his mouth that are smooth as butter. This is today. This is talking about the harlot church today. The corporate harlot religious church that has gone bad, and it's gone bad because it's convinced people that God is more interested in growth than he is in a house that's purged of sin. And we've got the entire loaf is leavened. The whole lump has been leavened with pride and idolatry. And here we are today. You know, come out of her, my people, and don't be a partaker of her iniquities and plagues. These plagues are manifested. You know, we're seeing the spiritual understandings of these plagues raging right now. The famine is the famine for the hearing of the word. And the locust is the deception, that the swarm of locusts that have blocked out the light, that is the actual deception that God has allowed as judgment. This is the judgment upon his church. They, you know, we were talking in the pre-show tonight, the thoughts of, like, you know, being in junior high school and having, you know, the kids, you know, tell you a huge whopper of a story, a big lie that you believed every word he was saying, only to find out the whole thing was a lie. And, you know, this is what God's doing. This is what God is allowing Satan to do as part of his perfect plan. This deception is the judgment, the fifth trumpet. The fifth trumpet judgment is the swarm of locusts that are released from the bottomless pit of deception. And this locust army is being carried by the winds of tribulation across the land. And this is all part of God's perfect plan, because this deception is what God uses to separate out his flock.
Amen. And audience, this deception is upon the land. It's scriptural. There is no difference from Genesis to Revelation as far as the metaphors do not conflict. There's just so many more that we can't even comprehend it. Because on a basis of a weekly basis, it's just more and more scripture revealing, because it could be a very simple rendering, but it's the proper rendering, and it tells a tale that says the world is Babylon, it's spiritual Egypt, and come out of the world. In a like parable manners, it says the same thing, come out of her. and come unto me. Now we have John the Baptist crying in the wilderness, testifying to the truth, that this is greater than me. I can't even buckle a shoe. This is how great it is. And it's that great, audience. It's the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just in this time, nobody knows it. Very few. And if you're waiting for the multitude to wake up, don't wait for anything. Because it comes without...
I thought there was a big revival coming, Bob.
The revival of the serpents and scorpions is upon the land, and it's it. Because, audience, you should be looking for a great white throne judgment times and how you'll stand in the front and be judged.
I can tell you what the revival is going to look like. It's Isaiah 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and he shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts of the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem. This is the call of the remnant, one by one, because this is what's happening right now. There's no great revival. There is a process of the truth, the lightning, spreading through the apostate church.
That's the fullness of the Gentiles become in, one by one.
One by one. One by one, the Gentiles are coming to the Lord. The heathen is coming to Jesus and worshiping the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem. This is a spiritual understanding here. This account of this is the 10 tribes, right, Bill?
Oh, in that particular book in Isaiah, in the physical rendering in the Old Testament?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, yeah. Because Isaiah came to warn them about Assyria. Jeremiah came to warn the lower tribes in Jerusalem about the Babylonian captivity.
And what are we in today? The Babylonian captivity, the deception. Right. The deception
but it's
is
still,
the
captivity. Yeah, it's...
The deception is the captivity, and what does the truth do? The truth makes you free. The truth frees you from the captivity. And, you know, this is how it works, folks. This is the great revival.
Finding
are gathered one by one.
An example audience would be someone that has been in a raptured doctrine church finding out that there's no rapture. And you can go scripturally on this. And we do have raptures, a couple documents on that. But the scripture upon scripture tears the rapture doctrine apart, but it's that person that gets pricked in the heart, that studies himself, approved, that finds out for himself.
The whole thing is, are you willing to let go? When you give Jesus all your heart, and you turn it completely over to him, this is where you let go of the relationships. If you're still going to hold a relationship in a doctrine, or you're still going to hold a relationship in a church or whatever, and you don't give your heart fully over to him, the truth's not going to be revealed to you.
No. Because the relationship is more important to you.
The relationship with the millennial reign is more important, or the relationship with the rapture is more important, or the relationship.
Or the person that believes in the rapture, yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, on the same token, a false doctrine like the rapture can be the very tool that the Lord uses as somebody realizes that the rapture is a lie. I don't see it. I see Isaiah 28:15 says they make lies their refuge, and in falsehoods they hide themselves. And when the overflowing scourge comes, it will surely pass by us. And it says that those people that believe that the overflowing scourge will pass by them are making lies their refuge. I mean, that's one of the most clear understandings of...
Well, right, that fits the rapture doctrine.
It's a perfect example.
Yeah, it fits the once saved, always saved doctrine.
If this church is lying to me about that, well, then what else are they lying to me about?
Right.
And that's the actual thing that the Lord can use. This is happening right now because people are figuring this stuff out one by one.
Right, and one by one, right.
By one.
And, audience, you need to ask yourselves this question. When is this fulfilled? When is this scripture fulfilled? Luke 13:25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And when he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. When is this fulfilled?
When it comes like a thief in the night.
When he comes as a thief in the night. I was going to say that.
It's fulfilled today.
And what does that mean? That means you're not positioned. I knew not from whence he were. You're not positioned. You're not positioned on the right side of the plumb line. You don't have the right garment on. You got your hoodie on. You should have a wedding, you know. That's the problem. You know, that's exactly what that's teaching.
And that's repentance, audience. You need to repent. You need to change your mind.
But we prophesied in your name, Lord. We cast out demons in your name. And he'll say, go away from me. I never knew you.
So how do you get to that state where that's happening now?
And that's what we saw last week in Joel, that the Lord pours out his spirit upon all flesh, good and the bad. And these people have the spirit to manifest these signs and wonders. Doesn't mean they're saved. God allows it. He allows it all. And it's just almost more than you can believe. If I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it, the work that the Lord is doing. As his judgment is being carried out by his own house, and the house of God is imploding. The serpents and scorpions are the tares that are turning black and coming against the remnant seed. And this is the Gog-Magog war that's raging right now in every corner church. As people are waking up, they're being gathered one by one, and they go to their pastor and they say, wait a minute, this isn't what this says here. You know, it says here in Galatians 6:16 in the New Testament that it talks about the Israel of God in the New Testament. What does this mean? And the pastor said, we'll give him some kind of cunningly devised fable, a Jewish dispensational explanation for that. And this remnant believer who's got the truth, you know, infiltrating his heart because he was pricked by hearing it, says, no, that's wrong. You guys are wrong.
And so, herein lies
have that.
The example, audience.
So then you have to be silenced then.
These are the serpents and scorpions in the church kicking you out because they are full of pride. They are in the process of leavened. The whole apostate church has fallen away. And you're there getting kicked out of your church. And you just found the truth. And they didn't. And what are they doing in that church? Nothing good. They're not godly. They're not looking at the scriptures and being a holy vessel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're being tares, but they look like they're messengers of light.
And they're fallen. They're not laying down. They're fallen. They were once standing. Babylon once was a golden cup. But
they've even twisted that now. The rapture's saying that you fall into heaven. That's how you get there. You fall. You
right.
fall into heaven.
No, you fall from being positioned. You fall because it means you were there once. And this is why this is the falling away, the apostasy, falling away from where you were at one time.
At worst, you're lukewarm. Spew thee out of my mouth. You're in the world. And you allow the world to go around you and sin everywhere. The whole world lies in wickedness, and no flesh is good. And there are doctrines of demons, and these spiritual plagues that are upon the face of the earth are here and recognizable. Because the sun is fully darkened. There is no one preaching Jesus Christ, Him crucified. The entire government of nations are pushing fleshly agendas of men.
Right, it's not only just the church doctrine and everything that's fleshly, it's just literally everything. The political arena, the entertainment arena, everything is just flesh, 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 flesh.
Kingdoms.
Apostate church movement.
And you know what they do to you when you get tired of the flesh? They got a trap for you. It's called the sixth sense. That's the trap they got for you. That you can become spiritual through Hindu mysticism and Greek Gnosticism and so many versions of it out there. It's this sixth sense spiritual self-awareness thing, RSF and many others. And, that's for the people that are sick of the flesh, 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 the first five. Eyes, ears, sight, nose, smell, touch. But the real thing is get in number seven and get the revelation from the Holy Spirit. That's where it's at.
It's not an enemy.
That's done through repentance.
Salvation is of our Lord's. Who can tell a circumcised heart? But we know who knows every hair on your head. All this is for the Lord's purpose.
That's true.
And to preach this gospel is to preach the... If you want to know the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ, read this gospel. That's the truth.
Amen.
If anybody's telling you read something else, you know you're in trouble. And as we proceeded for the past year, we have found every fleshly lie that could possibly be manifested in a historical basis. And they're all documented, audience. Pick a topic. You want to know about Tavistock and that abomination, the equation of the four horses of the apocalypse, the kingdoms. In the midst of these kingdoms, I will set up my kingdom. You can't get over that. The kingdom is here.
That's right. And he says it won't be left to other people. That's the tares. It won't be left to the tares. And it'll consume and break into pieces all other kingdoms. He's going to grind them all into powder.
There's no kingdoms left, audience. All the old kingdoms are destroyed, have been taken over. The names have changed, but the players are the same. You're in Babylon. You're in spiritual Egypt. And you need to come out into the wilderness and let the Lord feed you the meat of Scripture. It is for His will. And anybody that's propagating some duration of time that this doesn't come to an end, no man knows the time.
No man knows the time. Daniel 2:44 is one of the most giant verses in the Old Testament. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. That was done in Jesus Christ at the cross. Which shall never be destroyed. So it's never going to be destroyed. He's already got a kingdom. It's not of this world. It's never going to be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. You notice that word left there? It's only left for His remnant. There's that word left again. In a good sense, it's not left to other people. That's the serpents and scorpions. It's left to you. It's left for you.
It's left for my people. Yeah.
It's left for my people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. So not only was it already created, it says it's going to stand forever.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Bob, this is where I left off in Jeremiah. That the portion of Jacob is not like them. What do? They are the battle axe and the weapons of war. And with thee, I will break in pieces the horse and rider. And with thee, I will break in pieces the chariot and his rider. and with thee I will break in pieces man and woman, and with thee I will break in pieces old and young, and with thee I will break in pieces the young man and the maid, and I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen, and with thee I will break in pieces captains and rulers. You know, this is exactly what that's talking about. I never made that connection until just now.
Yep. It's all the two factions of evil. You know, there was two in every one of those.
And God's remnant is doing it.
Yep. The remnant. In all the land, two parts will I cut off.
Uh-huh.
But the third part left therein. Once again, we have the word left. I don't know how the rapture cult got that one wrong, you know, the taken and the left. It's just totally embarrassing. Everywhere in the Bible, the one taken is bad, and everywhere in the one left is good. But they got that completely backwards. You know, it even says the inner court. He says in Revelation 1, when he speaks about the inner court, right at the very end, is talking about therein. Same as in Zechariah 13. And the third part left therein.
And not answered.
One taken, one left.
Let's go over that for any new audience members, because they got that wrong too.
Yeah, let me pull it up real quick. It's Luke.
They're left therein.
Luke 17. It is. Only take me to get the full flavor of it.
What does it say about the kingdom that the God of heaven will set up that will have no end? What does it exactly say?
I'll read it again. In the days of these kings, that's Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, there were four under four occupations. The occupation became worse and worse and worse. First it was the head of gold. That's not as hard. Then it gets to become the arm of silver. It gets harder. Then it becomes the thighs of brass or whatever. That becomes harder. Then finally it becomes so hardened like Pharaoh's heart. You got the Roman Empire, the legs of iron.
Uh-huh.
So that's the kings. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom. So that's when he's going to come and set his kingdom up. Christ set it up at the cross.
Uh-huh.
Which shall never be destroyed. So never. I take that for meaning never.
Which shall never be destroyed. That's what I was looking for.
And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So it's never going to be destroyed. It's going to stand forever.
And it's going to break apart.
That happened 2,000 years ago.
The pale horse.
Yeah.
And the pale horse, audience, if you haven't come to the recognition that the horses, as described in Revelation, all become mingled kingdoms, where the best of every evil kingdom is mingled into one. And that's Babylon and that's a global basis.
Right. It's still one fighting with each other. I mean, it's always going to be the two factions. It's going to be their version of one. But that's what they're doing, yeah.
Common sense says, well, that couldn't happen to the world until World War II.
Now, go ahead, Bob.
I was just going to say, we have to look at the pit of hell and pits in a study to find that at Jesus' time, in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus the beggar, okay, that happened 2,000 years ago, that parable. It's still a fixed gulf.
Yep.
It's still a separation. It's an individual separation from, you're either separated from God because you're not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ and you're under these strong delusions, you're under this apostate teaching, you're out of covenant, and that's a judgment on the individual. But what are those that are in covenant, the remnant, the ashes, what's left? What are you to do in this generation? What are you to do?
Go ahead, Pop. Sorry.
I was just going to say it's a witnessing of the truth.
You know, that's in Luke chapter 17, that one taken one. I'd like to cover a little bit of in that chapter.
Let me just say one quick thing about the kingdoms. Can I real quick?
Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
Revelation 11, 14, 15. The second woe is past. This is the fifth and the sixth trumpet are the first and second woe. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he yep. shall reign forever and ever. There it is. There I mean, that's right Daniel. Here. That's exactly what Daniel is describing. This is in the Old in the New Testament now, in Revelation.
Wow. And
at the seventh trumpet, the third woe, we see the Lord reconciling all things and making the kingdoms of the world.
I'll cast out of my kingdom all those offend and all that doeth iniquity in Matthew 13.
It's right there.
Yep.
That's I knew you not, audience.
I knew you not. That's right.
So we want you to know the truth, the proper rendering of Scripture. And Bill, one left, one taken?
Yeah, and when the Pharisees demanding in verse 20 of Luke 17. And when they demanded the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. So the Pharisees are coming. When is this kingdom of God coming? You know, just like today, the millennial reign. And he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. And then he says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Remember in Matthew it says, if he's in the desert, don't go there. If he's, well, that's what he's speaking of here. And he says, lo here, lo there. For behold, the kingdom is within you, he says, right there in verse 21. So if you go looking for me here, I'm not in the desert. I'm not in the, he says, the kingdom is within you. And he said unto his disciples, the day will come when he shall desire to see one of the days of Son of Man, and he shall not see it. And then they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. So don't follow the liars, just telling you right here. And then I'm going to jump down where he says in verse 26, and it was in the days of Noah, it shall be the same as the days of the Son of Man. So it's going to be like Noah. He uses two descriptive pieces here, Noah and Lot. That's, you know, both of those were evil, two factions of evil. They're, in both cases, they're eating, drinking, you know, false doctrine, married to the church, whatever, life going. And the flood came and destroyed them all. And then the other one says the flood came and they took them away. And then he says, I tell you, there shall be two men in one bed. That's two. There's only three twos in the Bible. There's two joined together as witness in one. That's the two witnesses, the 144,000 and the multitude. Anything two joined together, two in Jesus Christ is one. Then there's two factions of evil that are as house divided. Or there is two oppositions, the tree of life or the wheat and the tares. And that's what he's speaking of right here, the wheat and the tares. He's speaking about one taken and one left. So the tare is taken and the wheat is left. How does the wheat left? He says, gather it into my barn. And he says there'll be two women grinding together. One shall be taken, one shall be left. And then he says, where are they gathered? Where are they taken? And he says in verse 37, and they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said, wheresoever the body is, this is your spiritual body, by the way, this is your spiritual death, there will the eagles be gathered. That's the feast of demons. That's when the devils are just feasting upon your dead soul.
Outside, on the other side of the plumb line.
On the other side of the plumb line, yet. That's eternal torment.
In this world, right now, 99% of the population doesn't see the truth in Scripture.
And that, by the way, is the great feast of God, I believe, in Revelation 17 or 18, where he allows the demons to just come and feast.
Oh, what an awful thought.
And to me, that's eternal torment, actually.
It's death. It's a sentence to death for idol worship.
Yeah.
Because you didn't take the time to study that parable because it was the Word of God. And he wanted you to.
The whole world says, don't get left behind. Follow us. Follow us. Don't get left behind. No, you want to get left behind. You want to stay here with Jesus. Don't follow them and be taken away.
It's his kingdom and nobody knows it.
Yep. It's just his kingdom and nobody knows it.
And it comes without observation to you in the flesh, because if you're still in the flesh, you're never going to see this. Never. You're going to follow the doctrines of men to death, great white throne judgment, and I knew you not in outer darkness. Now that's harsh, but it's the truth of Scripture. Every knee will bow, everybody has to go to court, and in that court, you're either told you've been a good and faithful, or you're told, I knew you not.
Right. There's not going to be any bought off district attorneys in there and shyster lawyers and corrupt judges.
But that's not for us to look at. We don't know who's going to repent and when they're going to repent.
No,
that's
no,
of the Lord.
Not right. But I'm just saying it's an honest judgment.
It's pretty common sense that the wicked are condemned to outer darkness. And you're a witness to this if you're in the Scripture. If you're in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ and you're following Him, this isn't so complicated. It's for a simple man, a meek man. And that's what you're to be, audience. When
right.
somebody starts preaching pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, by scriptural recall of your studies, you will know that he's firing all these dark arrows into the person that's listening to him. And he's spewing venom out of his mouth to blind the person. And in your heart, you know Jesus Christ healed the blind. So can you. By telling the person that he's spewing this poisonous venom and killing the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can do it by knowing your Scriptures. But always be aware that that person that listened to that, and you preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not up to you that he hear it. It's up to our Lord Jesus Christ. Only through him will the person be reconciled to find his
right,
own salvation.
That was something that I struggled with, you know, is trying to force people to learn and everything. It's and you know, and then that's I struggled with that for a while. And you're absolutely right in what you're saying there, Bob.
Well, he prepares you to preach this gospel to whoever needs to hear it, because it's a famine for hearing of the word. So it's not because we're on the internet. It's because it's of the Lord's will that somebody will hear this someday and will prick their heart to do the will of the Lord by his choosing. Because they're the one that's going to go to the barn, audience. The rest of them are thinking that they have some pre-tribulation rapture. They're going to miss all of the tribulation. They're in tribulation now. And it's of the Lord's judgment. Chris?
I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you there. I was just wanted to continue on briefly in Revelation 19 with one taken and one left. And where are they gathered? And Jesus said, where the eagles fly, or where the eagles gather. And it's in Revelation 19. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. That's them feasting on you. And verse 18, they may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, born free, bond, both small and great. And that's the feast of demons right there.
And it's happening. It happened. Perfect example is that purgatory that they propagated in the Roman Catholic Church in the Middle Ages. Okay? They would go to your house when your spouse died, your husband died, and say, he's stuck in hell, and you got to pay us to get him out. So give us the deed to your house. Or give us your daughter to ravage. Hey. Now these people are the wrath upon the terrorists themselves. And it hasn't changed. But now you have it on a global basis. Following the doctrines of men is eternal damnation. Following our Lord Jesus Christ is hope, faith, and salvation. And they're going to tell you he's everywhere. And our Lord Jesus Christ lets you know where he is. Because you're his holy vessel. You're the temple of the Lord to do his will on this earth. And no man can tell you this. Chris?
Yeah, and I'm just, I agree. You know, no man can tell you this. You gotta have the Lord reveal it to you. You know, this is the bread. This is the manna from heaven. You know, I just realized the new, you know, the fresh bread baked daily. You know, I mean, just, we have to just go to the Lord daily for our spiritual bread. You know, give us this day our daily bread. And, it's the only hope we have. You know, we can't pull away from the Lord now. You know, if you're walking in covenant with the Lord, you know, do everything you can to protect that and stay there. Because you certainly can't be cut off. You know, behold the, goodness and severity of God, you know. And we gotta stay, in the vine, you know, in the vine, because that's where life is. And, it's everything we need to get through these perilous, perilous times we're in. Deception is on the land. And, you know, I want to just encourage everybody to keep an eye out for this series that we're going to be working on, just to try to tie everything together in, you know, easy to understand, teachings. You know, we'll be looking at the four horsemen and the four beasts, you know, the pale horse synopsis of the studies we did there. And we'll be taking a look at the diminishment of the gospel, you know, which we clearly see as the restrainer being taken out of the way. Because the gospel was what restrained Satan, what bound him at the cross. But now that the true gospel is diminished, you know, we see what's happened, you know, that Satan's been loose. But at the same time, you know, it says in Amos that I will, my people will have a pure language. And, you know, we see that as the pure gospel, this gospel, the true gospel, that, you know, God has always preserved through his remnant. And we'll be going into some interesting, you know, overview topics in this series, and hopefully to help you spread the word and get this information out, because we're seeing people are waking up. Scripture says it, and we're seeing it, because people are coming to the point of helplessness in this world. You know, because this is what's going to happen. You know, we're going to see people that realize there's no rapture. And they're going to realize that, you know, other lies that they've been taught. And as this process continues, you know, the truth will do its work as it continues to set the captives free. You know, the captives that are, once again, you know, in captivity, as it says in Joel. You know, we saw that. We're going to see that when we continue in Joel. You know, we had to take a break from Joel tonight because it's just... there's just so much on our hearts, but you know, we'll be finishing up Joel, which is just another account of the same story, the Gog Magog Armageddon wheat, you know, the harvest of the wheat. It's all the same thing, the way that the Lord uses his very church to carry out his judgment and to separate out his flock. It's exciting, and it's just a privilege to be a part of it. And we just want to thank everybody in the audience, the encouraging emails. And until next week, this is Chris Ardern saying good night.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, I'd like to close with two or three verses out of John 15. He says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me is, and I in you, that you join with Christ, Christ in you and you in Christ, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So we can't do this with our own will. The branch just won't bear any fruit, except it abide in the vine. That's abiding in Jesus Christ. No more can he except ye abide in me. So it's a joint thing, Christ in you and you in you in Christ. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as the branch, and it withered away. And man gathered them, and cast them into the fire, and they burn. Yeah, when you're separated from Christ, the branch just by itself can produce no fruit. It just withers away. It becomes a pile of dry sticks. And what does Jesus say in Matthew 13? He says, gather the tares and bundle them up and burn them. But the wheat gather into my barn. And it's the same parable.
In audience, what we preach is our Lord Jesus Christ, him crucified. His salvation through the gospel that he gave to his followers. Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Audience, this praying is broken down in Scripture on many levels. It's to beg as binding oneself, that is, petition, beseech, pray, make request. It includes bind, be in bonds, knit, tie, wind. It is, which properly means a request as a favor, from which is strictly a demand or something due, as well as which implies a search. Now, your whole life in this generation tells you that, hey, something's a little different. Something's a little more wicked. And these physical, we could say, outcroppings, gentlemen, the Fukushima, the Gulf of Mexico, not thus saith the Lord, but they're pretty big man-made disasters.
I don't know of any up to that would equal those throughout history. No, as far as man-made, no, there hasn't been one.
And that the new world order, not on a conspiracy or doomtard level, but on a level of observation, is here on a global basis.
Yes, it's just further consolidation. That's all. It's been here for several decades already.
And we definitely can liken it to Babylon.
Absolutely.
And our observations in this witnessing have come to the conclusion that the pale horse of Revelation is fully mingled and that the apostate church is fully leavened.
Yeah, they have joined with the world. James 4, they become friends with the world. The apostate church is absolute friends with the world. They seek them on approval all the time. They seek them for answers. And James 4:4 says, he that is friends of the world is enemy of God. So doesn't get any plainer than that.
And to conclude, audience, in your life you need to feel this presence of God. Matthew 8:26, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. My peace I give to you, audience, that great calm. Let Jesus lead you, audience. Work out your own salvation, and always remember to ask yourself this question, are you ready? Because he comes without observation, he comes as a thief in the night. And every knee will bow upon his return. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. Good night.
to vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Well, the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to our nation. Walking around with their heads in the sky. Cities are bathed in the summertime.
No, the beat goes on.
Evolution, revolution, got control of sound. So shooting rockets to the moon. Kids growing up too soon. Politicians say more taxes will solve everything.
And the band played on.
Inspectors, new collectors,
hardcore, wicked man, population out of hand.